In the sleepy town of Henrietta, dreams are more than fleeting nighttime visions. They're dangerous, tangible things. Ronan Lynch carries a secret that defies natural law. He can extract objects from his dreams and bring them into the waking world. This power first manifested when he dreamed of his friend Gansey's car keys and woke to find them physically in his palm. For Ronan, this ability isn't a gift, but a burden that shapes his entire identity. He is the Grey Warren, a living artifact who makes dreams real. The Lynch family home, known as the Barnes, holds the evidence of this impossible power. When Ronan breaks the prohibition against visiting his childhood home, he discovers dozens of animals frozen in suspended animation, breathing but unmoving. Most devastatingly, his mother, Aurora, lies in the same state, revealing the truth that shatters his understanding of family. She isn't a real person at all, but another dream creation of his father's. The Lynch brothers, rule-following Declan, rebellious Ronan, and joyful Matthew, represent different responses to their father's supernatural legacy, with Ronan slowly realizing his inheritance isn't just wealth, but the power to reshape reality itself. A supernatural energy pathway called a ley line runs through Henrietta, connecting places of power. Along this line lies the legendary Welsh king Owen Glendower, who is said to grant a favor to whoever wakes him, a boon that might save Gansey from his prophesied death. The group previously discovered Caveswater, a mystical forest where trees speak Latin and time behaves strangely, but now it has vanished. Adam Parrish offers himself to the ley line, becoming its human vessel. "I am Caveswater's hands. I am Caveswater's eyes," he realizes as his consciousness merges with the ancient power. This bargain grants him supernatural abilities but makes him vulnerable to the line's influence. Their search leads them to a man-made lake where they recover two impossible objects, an ancient shield boss with three ravens and a centuries-old wheel from Gansey's Camaro, a paradoxical discovery suggesting their quest has deeper implications than they imagined. The Grey Man, a scholarly professional killer, comes to Henrietta seeking the Greyware, which his employer believes extracts dreams, unaware it's actually Ronan Lynch. During his investigation, he falls in love with Maura Sargent at 300 Foxway, a sensation he compares to being stabbed with a screwdriver. Haunted by memories of his sociopathic brother who tortured animals, the Grey Man faces a dilemma when his employer threatens to reveal his location unless he delivers the Greyware. After confessing to killing Ronan's father, the Grey Man protects Ronan by claiming he's found the Greyware but is keeping it himself. His arc culminates when he chooses to confront rather than flee from his brother, shooting him twice, and choosing love and belonging over running. Joseph Kavinsky, a notorious student, known for drugs, street racing, and destruction, recognizes Ronan's ability because he shares it. "I know what you are," he tells Ronan, revealing dozens of identical white Mitsubishis he's pulled from dreams. Their shared power creates an immediate, dangerous connection. Kavinsky offers to teach Ronan to control his abilities, showing him how to extract objects before dreams corrupt them. Though Ronan becomes more skilled under this toxic mentorship, their relationship devolves into a power struggle. When Ronan rejects Kavinsky's nihilistic vision, Kavinsky kidnaps Ronan's brother Matthew to force his participation in a destructive 4th of July spectacle. The conflict culminates with both dreamers manifesting nightmare creatures, Kavinsky's fire dragon versus Ronan's night horror, battling above Henrietta's fairgrounds. Kavinsky makes his final stand before the dragon passes through him, killing him instantly, a stark illustration of how dreams can consume their creators. Throughout the novel, magic demands payment. When Adam sacrifices himself to the ley line, he experiences sensory distortions, catching images and feeling disconnected. He suffers memory lapses, once found walking along an interstate 15 miles away with no memory of how he got there. Blue's curse, that kissing her true love will kill him, represents another magical price. When she seeks solutions, her household psychics offer no answers, only acknowledgement of her burden. Similarly, Ronan learns dream objects share their dreamer's life like nail clippings and cease functioning upon the dreamer's death. Dreaming itself drains Cabiswater's energy. Each time Ronan or Kavinsky creates something from dreams, they siphon power from the supernatural current, prompting Adam to repair the line using stones as conductors. Even the Gray Man's skills exact a cost, his humanity eroded by years of violence, until meeting Mara reawakens his capacity for connection. When she touches his face, saying, "I'm sorry no one saved you," she acknowledges the sacrifice his life has been. The characters' relationships form a complex web of conflicting loyalties. Blue and Adam's romance ends when she reveals her curse, kissing her true love will kill him, followed by her admission that it doesn't matter because it's not gonna be you. Meanwhile, Blue's feelings for Gansey grow with an inevitability that terrifies her, knowing she'll cause his death. Their connection deepens through private jokes, late-night calls, and stolen glances. Unlike her calculated interactions with Adam, Blue's relationship with Gansey feels natural, a foregone conclusion rather than play-acting, making her prophesied role more tragic. Ronan's dreams increasingly feature Adam, while his relationship with Kavinsky blends attraction and repulsion. When Kavinsky suggests they're kindred spirits, Ronan firmly rejects this, insisting there's more to life than sex and drugs and cars. Gansey remains the group's center, though his facade occasionally cracks. His greatest fear isn't death, but becoming irrelevant to those he loves. This vulnerability emerges when Adam strikes at his core insecurity. "I got into Aglian Bay without you. I got blue without you. I woke the ley line without you." Gansey's uncharacteristic silence reveals his deep fear of redundancy in his friends' lives. As the story concludes, the boundaries between magic and reality blur completely. Ronan's dream-created Camaro is indistinguishable from the original, while Adam perceives the ley line's energy as golden threads weaving through the landscape. Blue's family exemplifies this convergence in their daily lives. Mora reads tarot while cooking, Kella discusses prophetic dreams during routine activities, and Persephone teaches psychic techniques between bites of toast, treating the supernatural as utterly normal. This convergence culminates with Aurora Lynch awakening in Cabeswater, her dream self manifesting in reality through subtle details, her dress rippling like water, flowers blooming beneath her feet, and ravens responding to her presence. Cabeswater maintains a perpetual spring where she resides. The novel ends with Mora's disappearance and her note, "Glendower is underground, so am I." The quest has evolved beyond a treasure hunt into a journey through layers of reality where history, family mysteries, and magical forces intersect. The boundaries between past and present, magic and reality, become as permeable as those between dreams and waking life. In this world, true power lies not in what you can create, but in what you choose to create, and what price you're willing to pay for your dreams to become reality.